Now, what are your people? Had they anticipated this box stuff and this testimony? Did the Bittmans, do they still hold to their conviction? Do they really believe that this boy stole this money from Kirk?
Well, I went over that with Fred. I haven't discussed that directly with Bittman. I don't really like to get
I agree with you.
Too close to him, you know.
I agree with
you. Fred was shook. I said, well, I guess you would be. Oh, my God.
Have you ever told him what I thought about it? Or he died this? Fred?
I really haven't told him that you thought that. I told him I thought.
Sometime I wish you'd tell him it. I think he's just a damn fool. Sit there and let that happen. That's what I think. You know, I thought when we put him in there that he wouldn't let these city boys take him, but they just made a monkey out of him. But, I mean, I can't pick him. But, anyway, go ahead. What then?
Well, he knows I feel that way, but he just really levels the guy. He makes you feel that way. Hard to get back up. He said, well, it wasn't the same envelope. How do you know that? I said, well, they testified as a vanilla envelope and a white envelope. I said, well, that's ridiculous. Just hindsight tells you there's no way in the world anybody can put that precise amount of money in that envelope or any envelope. Anticipate something like this won't happen. It's just too great a coincidence. He said, well, it's quite a coincidence. But is it any more so than Baker's entering his safe deposit box before and after? I said, well, hell yeah. I can have a lot of reasons for entering the safe deposit box. It was the first time he'd done it. Well, it was always the first time. It doesn't say what he entered it for, what he put in there, what he didn't. You know, he's got the circumstantial evidence. He went in and out here at the right, precise amount of money. It'd just be a miracle if he came in his place. He said, well, there's still the rest of the money. Yeah. But I think it shook him some. They say that, Kerr Jr. and Dean McGee are really agitated about it. Apparently, they will say that Baker didn't tell them the same thing when he flew down. You remember when he flew down there in the winter and talked to him by himself and got the newspaper? He didn't say the same thing then that he's saying now.
Well, he said the same thing to Abe when he hired him. And he went out and told Clark Clifford that before I became president. And I know goddamn well that he wanted to borrow money from us, and we told him we couldn't do it. Go see Bob Kerr. I didn't call Bob Kerr. I've looked at my diary. I didn't call him. He's wrong on that point. But he did come see me. Did tell me that, and Kerr did tell me that, don't worry, he's taken care of. I'm going to see him through this period. And to me, that meant 20, 40, 30 million, whatever he needed, because he wasn't a guy that started something he didn't finish. And they wouldn't have dared touch him here, Kennedy told me. He said, every time I ask him some tax bill, trade bill, anything, he always takes something out of the pot, but said he puts back more. And then when Kennedy told me about this deal, how they called Erickson and Mansfield out, threatened him and scared him and made him get this boy fired out in Mansfield's house and had Hoover go out there. So Kennedy told me to go ask him, tell him to resign. But I know that was the story then, and I know this is exactly what he told Abe, and they went out and told Clark Clifford, and I know that Clifford represented him, and he damn sure knew it. Now, what I think happened, and I had no knowledge of it or anything after the 60s. When I went out in 61, Mike Mansfield was the majority leader. But my judgment is there, just like every other election that I've been in. The election of 1960, with all these problems that we have with IT&T and all that group, a good many people were told to go on and spend $200,000, $300,000, $400,000. In our state, is nearly $1 million. And John Conley signed a note at Fort Worth, and somebody, Adrian Spear, signed one in San Antonio, and Dub Singleton signed one in Houston. A.W. Morrison signed one in Johnson City, and Tom Miller signed one in Austin. And we just went and got this money and told them to go on and use it, whatever it was, and we'd take care of it later. Now, my judgment is that this fellow was trying to keep unanimous control of that committee. He was running it over Harry Byrd. And he took everybody on it that had an election. And whether they had an opponent or not, whatever their expenses were, going back or anything, and my guess is he told every damn one of them he'd help them. And this boy was a conduit like he was for every Democrat for 20 years. He was just a damn page boy for all of them. If they wanted cigars, he'd go get them. If they wanted a drink, he'd go get it. If they wanted to deliver money, he'd go deliver it. And Bob Kerr wasn't any more stealing any money than a monkey. He just had a heart attack, and he just never did deliver his damn money. But he was there to deliver. And he did deliver the money to this boy. And he delivered the credit to him, and he saved the damned operation. But there's nothing they can go to penitentiary for. And there was. And that's my judgment. And I'm not so damn sure he didn't give it some of it to him. But I know he told me one time that one of my good friends from Alabama, he said he's having an awful hard time going with us on this measure. But said he's going to go because I've told him that he's authorized to go on and spend up to 15. I'll pick it up. I know he told Mr. Rayburn that a good many times. And I know that they did. And it might be a little jerk congressman in Portland, Oregon. But they did. And he was ready to take over that Senate and was running it when he had this heart attack. Operated in a big way, but if there's anything wrong, he did it, or I did it, somebody else. This kid, he just got to, when he had nothing to do and got in all this business and started having all this trouble, and the damn tornadoes hit him, and earthquakes and everything else, and it wasn't one man in the Senate could help him, and he's the one that kept him in the job. He wanted to leave. He just urgently, and I wanted him to leave. And I had him out of there. He was going to go practice law. Hell, I offered him $50,000 a year to come work with us in the valley. And he's getting 16 or 18 or something. But Kerr told him no, and Kerr told me, he said, God damn you, don't you tell that boy that. He said, we can't run this thing without him. He's the most valuable man we got. Well, it's just exactly like you losing Hoover or somebody that's the most valuable man. And Mansfield said, I'll resign if you leave. So that was the situation up there. I have never talked to him since this thing began. I've never had a message, except he called up and wanted me to testify, but I never had a discussion with him. But I know that he has been victimized, persecuted, unjustly treated, lied upon by all the papers. And, you know, I was reading this afternoon about all this three-year period here while he's doing all this. He was then responsible to the majority leader, Johnson. Well, I wasn't vice president. I was vice president from 61 on. I had no more control over him than I have over the Justice Department. that's the way these things happen.
Well, it's a miserable situation.
Yeah. How long is it going to take them? A couple of weeks?
No, I didn't hear the rest of it this evening, but... last night they said they thought it would go to the jury next week.
What are you going to do with these fellows now? Just keep them sitting there to handle a columnist the rest of their life, these Bittmans and the rest of them, when this is over?
I think Bittman will be leaving, and I've talked with Courtney Evans, who's been about the most vital spot for us. He'll be leaving about the 1st of March. It's going to look amicable. I think it's much better than it looked that way. Harold Reese will be leaving pretty soon, I think. These are the teams I think Bill could be ready to leave.
Where was his, where was he obtained? Where is he from?
Oh, Bill was from Wisconsin, I guess. He went to Marquette and finished his law out there, I think. Came down here and was in the organized crime section, but then transferred out to Chicago. And when they started the trust fund case, while there was a fellow named Charles C. Smith, who just kind of cracked up the weekend before the case was to go to trial. And they ran Bittman in to try it. He hadn't been in except for reference in the development of the case. He tried that case, which was a long, hard trial.
That's the Hoffa case?
That's the Hoffa case from Chicago. And secured a conviction. It was brought down here after that, and then put on this case.
Who put him on this, you know?
Well, Nick did. Back in the... Oh, I can't remember when it was, but it was a long time ago. I tried to get him off for a long time. And a time or two I thought we were going to, but they were always... was a real touchy thing. There's no way to get him off anytime recently that I could see that would cause much greater injury than one already inflicted. But he was put on well before Jack Miller left. He, of course, handled it. He was on it a long time. Well, I can tell you, he was on it before the election in 64 because they, and I'd say maybe 8 months before that. I guess maybe he went on before Bob Kennedy left.
I would imagine he put him on it.
May have.
Because he originated in my judgment. And the boy said that, you remember? He said that when they asked for his resignation. He announced that in the paper that's in the clipping. And he just gave him a cherry tail and told him, don't ever mention that you got enough problems. I take no publicly charging.
I'm not sure when it was first put on. I tell you, I really think it was before Bob left. He left September 3rd, I think.
You think he was shaken by this at all? You think it had any effect? Do you think this testimony had any effect on Bittman?
I really don't have any way of telling. I'm sure it must have, but that's surmised.
When did they know about the envelope and the mail?
I don't think they knew about it, which I told you this morning, until it was brought out in
weren't
the trial.
Weren't they there when they opened the box?
The, our people?
Yeah. They didn't know anything about that.
But Fred confirmed that to me this evening. I didn't forget about it. He said, no, that wasn't a surprise.
Is Fred staying on? Is he happy where he is?
Well, as far as I know, Fred's been pretty shaken up by the whole thing. I think he feels fairly miserable and uncertain. I haven't had any discussions with him about it. I'm working harder on Don Turner, actually. I'd like to get Don out back in school by September. Give him some vacation if possible.
What's his problem? What does he say?
Don
Turner, yeah.
Well,
want to make as much trouble as you can?
No, I don't. It seems that way sometimes. Sure does to me, but I think that he just doesn't live in the real world, and he's such a theoretician. He